My FM in the morning. It is Jamie. It is Wednesday, June 1st, kickoff to Pride Month. I want to welcome parents Becky and Matt. And I have a feeling this month, over the years, it's a whole new meaning to you guys, Pride Month. If you can, if you're willing, share your story with us here on My FM in the morning.
We have a transgender son who was sort of not the typical story that you often hear about. He came to us probably around 13 and was saying, you know, Mom, have you ever heard about non-binary? And to be honest, I'd heard about it, but really that was my time to become educated about what that meant, because I knew it was something that was important to him. So we educated ourselves on what being non-binary meant and what that would look like as far as pronouns go, explaining things to our family. For anyone who doesn't know, being non-binary, your pronouns are they, them, which can be sort of tricky to some people because it's not sort of within the how the English language works when it comes to...
It sounds plural.
That's right. So that was sort of an interesting adjustment, working that into conversations, because if someone didn't know who we were talking about and we would reference them as they, them, it would sort of be like, well, who are you talking about? So that was, I think, sort of the biggest learning curve when it came to learning about non-binary. And then he struggled a little bit with deciding sort of if non-binary was the right hat to wear. And I think once he had a little bit of time to get comfortable with being non-binary, he said, you know what, I'm really feeling much more of the masculine side. So he said, you know what, I really think that I'm a boy. And so we had a really great conversation about, was this something you felt as a small child? And he said, no, he felt very feminine, was very much into hair and makeup and dressing and sort of those stereotypical female roles. And all of a sudden he said, you know what? I don't feel like that's me anymore. And it wasn't for us to necessarily understand how he felt. It was our job to support how he was feeling. So that was really important to us.
Yeah. Now, I mean, a lot of people, when they hear that, they'll think, okay, 13, going through so much, so many changes. I mean, how as a parent do you take that seriously from a 13-year-old?
Yeah, that's kind of the difficult part, because, you know, as an adult, you know how much is going through your head as a teenager, trying to figure yourself out, you know, and in the, you know, the 2020 kind of environment, there's so many more choices that are accepted. So, you know, for someone of our generation, if you had those thoughts in your mind that maybe I'm not the guy I thought I was or the girl I thought I was, you would keep it down. Mm-hmm. But, you know, 25 years later from when we were in high school, if you have those thoughts, it feels like it's okay. Right. So when it was around the time that, Elliot Page came out as transgender, it was right around there. So we're like, okay, you know, how much of this is spurred by what they see on the internet? Right. Oh, because right. He even said, Elliot Page looks happy. I want to feel that kind of happy. But there was never any question about how they felt. Right. And but we want them to be sure themselves and not jump too quickly into something.
Were either of you as parents kind of thinking, or I don't want to say hoping, but thinking it might be just a fad or a trend or something they were going through and it might not last? Was that a thought?
We definitely talked about that. And actually, we addressed that with him, too, and said, listen, if this is how you're feeling right now, but next year you feel differently, and that's OK, because you're figuring out who you are. And it was really important for us to impress upon him, no matter who you are or what pronouns you're using, how you feel in your brain, who you love, we love you as a person. And we would support him no matter what that was. And it was something that we had discussed between the two of us as being important that we support him no matter what, and really try not to, you know, if something changed, kind of throw that around and throw that back in his face. It was just that we accepted who he was then, and we would accept if there was a change. Do we think that there'll be a change back? I don't think so at this point, but you know what? It's hard to say. Yeah. It is something as he matures that very well may change.
All right. So take us through then inside the house, within the walls of your home. It sounds like nothing but love and support, which is fantastic. Now you have to get outside those walls and kind of the next step, or, I mean, who did you tell next? I don't know if either of you still have parents with us, telling them and other family members, or even his siblings for that matter.
I think actually, truthfully, his older sister knew before us. They're extremely close. And having that support for him within the siblings, I think, was the most important part of sort of buttoning up that family package, making sure everyone was supportive and understanding, but also an advocate. It was important that everyone was using the right names and using the right pronouns, and just being that support for him.
I mean, his older sister would, you know, give us trouble if we slipped up, right? They're very like protective that way. Mm. And even both our daughters identify in the LGBTQ spectrum themselves.
And that's always been an open conversation in our home. We have some friends that are gay. We have family members that are gay. It's always been sort of a non-issue. It's an open conversation here. So I think that sort of paved the way for things to be comfortable for him to come to us. As far as grandparents and extended family, we went to our parents first, so they knew about the non-binary, which I think truthfully was a little bit harder for them to understand than the trans piece. And I think a lot of that just had to do with just past history of what they knew growing up, because I specifically remember them saying, I've never even heard of non-binary. So that gave us an opportunity to educate them about it. But then once he came out as trans, it was almost a little bit easier for them to understand that, because they'd heard of that before. And it wasn't sort of a, you know, as far as they thought, new thing that was going on. I think truthfully, the hardest part was they had nicknames for him that were using his previous name. And that was hard, because that was sort of a little bit of love language between them. So he has a new nickname now, and really loves it and gets, you know, a big smile when we use it. So we're sort of trying to get the family to use that in place of the previous nicknames. So
wow. It's difficult too with that extended family that are not here every day living it, right? To use the right name, the right pronouns, all that kind of stuff. So it's a lot easier for them to slip up when we would visit, because they're just not living it.
Mm-hmm. You know? And there is a very obvious visual change. You know, we've got a different haircut and different clothing, and even just presenting very visually different. So
that makes it easy.
That makes it easier when it comes to making sure that you're respecting those pronouns and using the right name, because there is a visual difference. And I think I did send out an email to a bunch of family members that we were going to be having a family get together, and it was going to be the first sort of time that he was going to be in everyone's presence as his true self. And I just said, I want you to know that this is who we'll be coming with, and this is a very important time in their lives. It's important to be supportive. If you have questions, great. I did include some links with some education in case there were questions I didn't have answers to. But also, I also expressed to them, it was really important for them to understand it wasn't a situation that they needed to necessarily understand, but support. And that for his mental health. He needed to feel that love and support from family members. And the really the response was really positive. And my sister said, you know, I will do my best, but please know that if I make a mistake, it's not coming from a place of disrespect. It's coming from a place of habit. And that, you know, she said, I will really do my best to make sure that I do follow through with that. Yeah.
No, and that's kind of what I had said to you before we started recording is that, yeah, just that fear. You don't want to say the wrong thing. You don't want to offend anyone. But it's almost just, you know, ignorance in a way. We're all educated. We're all, you know, learning the new language and learning what's right and wrong. So still a long way to go. That's, I mean, why we're here in Pride Month and chatting with you is unfortunately, you know, transphobia, homophobia is still a thing. And while you've told some very positive stories, I imagine that there has been some unfortunate negative ones too, dealing with transphobia.
I think we sort of try to shy away from any situations where there will be that negative impact, just because we want him to feel that sort of circle of love and support around him. We do, we're doing our best to attend as many Pride events as we can. He really loved the drag show that we had. Was really truly in his element, and just seeing all these people just so in love with themselves and who they are, and also the people in attendance were all wonderful and supportive, and I think that was a really important situation for him to be in, was to see that, hey, you know what, this is something that is accepted. It's just a matter of kind of finding your people.
And I mean, schools, even society, how have you found acceptance has come along over even, say, the past 10 years?
Oh, definitely a positive increase in awareness. I did reach out to the schools once he had came out to us, I reached out to the schools and said, hey, you know what, I'd like to introduce my son to you. They were amazing. They were very accommodating. When we got his diploma, we got two diplomas, one with his chosen name, one with previous name, just in case for legal reasons. And we didn't even look at it. We just tucked it away in case we needed it for job applications, that kind of thing. But the school has been fantastic. They make sure that there is a neutral bathroom. They make sure that, you know, he's feeling comfortable. They use the right pronouns. They use the right chosen name, which is, I think, really important. It's just validating.
Yeah. As far as school, there's like a point where I don't know how many people even know anything other than his chosen name.
Mm-hmm. Right? It's true.
It's just, that's who he is. And that's everybody knows. And that's what he wants. He wants to be known just as himself, not himself,
the transgender
kid. And that's where we're talking about the anonymity. They don't want to have that kind of label. They just want to be who they are and have everybody accept them as they are.
Yeah. And not be called out as being the trans kid of the group. You know, that's who he is.
Yeah. All right. To speak to other parents who maybe down the road, maybe are currently going through this. I mean, from what you've learned, any, you know, challenges you've had to overcome, or what do you say to other parents who are maybe just having a hard time with this, if one of their children has come out to them?
I think the most important thing is for families to, or parents and extended family to realize is that this is their own journey. And it's important that we, you know, if they come to us with something we don't understand, then let's learn about it. Let's be educated. Because if it's something that's important to them, then it's important to us also. I think we need to work on making any sort of LGBTQ+ information more readily available for families. Our biggest job as their parents is to love them and support them and keep them safe. So we want to make sure that everything that's happening in his life is safe. He's making decisions that are something that's going to help him along the way. Anything you want to add?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, you just want your children to be happy, right? So like what I would say to parents is, you know, if you want them to be happy, you know, let them be who they want to be. You know, it's, there's no way to know exactly how someone feels inside. You just, you go with what they're telling you and how they're acting, and you have to, you know, accept that for what it is. And if you love them, you just want them to be happy. So.
And there's a difference between someone's gender and someone's sexuality. Their gender is sort of in their head. Their sexuality is in their heart. So making sure that those two things remain sort of separate makes it a little bit easier, because then you're sort of looking at personality. Wait, no, don't say that. I'm trying to think how to explain that.
No, it's, you're taking down boundaries to, you know, mm-hmm. the societal norm, I guess. Mm-hmm. And, but it's okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, this month, I mean, obviously it's a lot of celebrating, but it is a lot of educating and just awareness in general. So, I mean, you're going to have those doubters. You're going to have those people we talk to who, you know, don't believe any of this, believe you're either born a man or a woman and you stay that way. So unfortunately, yeah, there's still some educating to do, but sounds like you're very patient with those people.
Well, we understand that not everybody comes from the same level of open-mindedness. And if there's someone who's not supportive or not understanding and not willing to be educated, then that's not somebody that we need to focus our energy on. Some people are not willing to have an open mind and see that this is something that is possible. And you know what? Those just are not the kind of people that we're going to surround ourselves with.
All right. Well, if we have one takeaway from this month, what are you hoping that is accomplished, or what are you hoping to get out of this Pride Month?
I think education. I think people need to know that there's all sorts of types of love out there. There's all kinds of resources that are available, especially to kids. There are some really fantastic programs within the school that talk about various lifestyles. And I think the biggest thing for us is that we have talked about in our home since we've had children is love. And that is the most important thing when it comes to supporting our children, is love, and we love who you are no matter who you are.
Well, it's amazing. Truly inspiring just to hear your story from your point of view, and love the love, love the support. And this is, I think, going to be a great conversation to have here on the show. So I want to thank you both for being part of this.
Thank you so much for having us.